We're going to take 2 weeks this fall, and we're just going to talk about missions. We're going to talk about getting the Word of God into people's hands. And so as we talk about missions each year, our goal is big and it's extravagant, and that is to reach all the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to simply do our part in that. It's a small part here through LifePoint, but to do our part in that. It's a pretty broad scope. We have missionaries in multiple nations. We have missionaries here in the States. We have missionaries who do lots of different sorts of things. We support organizations right here in Indianapolis, so we try to do missions here and abroad. We just try to be obedient to the Word of God and get the gospel to all the nations, which includes right here in Indianapolis, where there are people, believe it or not, who have not heard or responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so our mission is wide and far-reaching. We can't do all of it, but this year what we want to do is we're going to take this broader missions emphasis and just kind of say we're narrowing it down just these next 2 weeks into this focus on getting God's Word translated and into the hands of people who do not have the Word of God. It's not the only thing we want to do in missions. It's not the only thing you can do in missions, but it is what we want to emphasize specifically this year, knowing, again, that the scope is broader than that as well. So this is what we're going to be focusing on today and next week as well. We're going to be preaching a couple of messages that are topical messages. In fact, quite frankly, as we go into this fall, missions emphasis, following that, we're going to do a series called Life in the Church, and then we're going to go into an Advent series. These are what we call topical messages. Usually, primarily here at LifePoint, we try to just go through books of the Bible, and that's what we normally do, but occasionally we do these topical studies, and so I just alert you to it so that you know that when we do these, we root these in the Word of God. We root the topic in the Word of God. Today, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 11. These are not just opportunities for me to get up here and wax eloquent and tell you how smart I am and all the things I know God would want you to know, because this would be either a short message or a very long one, and either one of them would not give you enough information that you really need to live your life. And so we root these topical messages in the Word of God, and then we extrapolate what it is that we want God to share to us, or what we hope God is going to share to us from that Word. So I've approached today's message with a topic in mind, and that is I want to talk about the Word of God and its importance to us as followers of Jesus Christ and the importance of those who do not know, who do not yet know Christ. We'll do that in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 11. So we will root the topic in the Word of God. These messages this week, next week, are designed to get you and myself, who are true followers of Jesus Christ, to see the great need and to respond to it in any way that we can. We're simply going to provide one way here at LifePoint by which to do that, and that is to give to missions so that we can then do what we do with these collection of missions dollars throughout the year. It's one way of approaching this. There are multiple ways that God may be speaking to you about and other ways that you're going to serve in missions and lots of other things that may be going on in your life as well. As always, as I preach this message, there are folks here in the audience who are not believers. You've not yet given your life to Christ. We recognize that. We are glad that you are here. But understand that this week and next week are really geared very specifically to believers who are here in the audience. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't a word for you who are not believers from this text. There is a word for you from this text. And I'm praying that God will open up your ears and your eyes and your heart, and you'll see that and you'll respond to the word that God has for you from the text that we will be going through this morning. But for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, then I want us to really zone kind of in today and to think about the reality of how blessed we are with God's Word in our own heart language and what God's Word does and what it means to us. And I hope to be able to flesh that out for you, at least a part of that, from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah chapter 55. It was C.H. Spurgeon, who was a great preacher from two centuries ago now in Great Britain, who said, "Everyone has a religious spasm or two." Everybody has a moment in life or two where they think, I need to get my life right with God. And hey, that's a great thing, and I hope God uses that to bring you ultimately to a true and profound relationship with Jesus Christ. The message today is not for those who are just having a religious spasm, but it's for those of us who love the Word of God. It's for those of us who have been transformed by the Word of God so that we might take that and share that blessing with the nations. And so, again, a bit of a disclaimer, but I hope not a disclaimer completely, that we recognize what's taking place here as we preach on this topic this week and from Psalm 19 next week as well. So we're in Isaiah chapter 55, starting at verse 6 and reading through verse 11. So let's stand together. Let's honor God, shall we, as I read from his word today. Isaiah chapter 55, starting at verse 6. And God says through Isaiah, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. And so Isaiah, God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, calls us to seek God, to forsake our ways, and return to the Lord. Isaiah, the prophet, prophesied about 750 years before Christ. So a long time ago. We're talking about a guy that's been long dead. And we're talking here about a word that has been around for a very, very long time. Very, very turbulent years in the time that Isaiah prophesied. He was a prophet from the northern kingdom of Israel. By that time, Israel was now two nations, Israel and Judah. And he's a prophet who is prophesying during some very turbulent time. There's this menace called the Assyrian Empire, which is growing in power, and it is putting all kinds of pressure on the entire Mediterranean, all these nations. And in particular, they've kind of beaded in on Israel. And Isaiah the prophet is speaking to the people of Israel and saying, essentially, you got to get things together. We have rejected God, and things are not looking good, and Assyria is knocking on the door. And so you have this massive threat to these people that they are going to not just be defeated by Assyria, but they are going to be assumed by Assyria. Assyria is going to take them, and they are going to assume them into the kingdom, and they are going to disperse them to the four corners of the earth. And so it's a very, very pressing time. If you look at the book of Isaiah as a whole, just real quickly, the beginning part, Isaiah is primarily preaching to the people of the northern kingdom and saying, trouble is at the door. Assyria is knocking at the door. There's going to be some major issues here if we don't quickly right the ship. We now know, looking back, they don't. They will be conquered by Assyria, and they will be exiled. But if you get to about chapter 40 or so, Isaiah's focus begins to turn now to the southern kingdom, and God begins to speak to him, and he begins to see this other menace that's in the future, and this is another kingdom that will come after Assyria. This is the Babylonians, who will then exert pressure and influence on the southern kingdom of Judah. And so there is this word that God has for the Jews who are in the southern kingdom, that they too have a certain amount of time to kind of get their act together, to seek the Lord, to forsake their ways and return to God, because if not, there's going to be trouble from Babylon. Looking back in history, we now know that the southern kingdom will reject their God as well. Babylon will come, they will conquer the southern kingdom, and they will scatter them as well and send them into exile. But as the book of Isaiah comes to an end, there's beautiful prophecies about how God is going to bring his people back again. He's going to recollect his people again. And throughout all of the book of Isaiah and the prophecy of Isaiah, there is this promise of one who is coming, who is the servant of the Lord, who is God's anointed. And he is going to come, and he is going to be the one by which the nations eventually will stream to the Lord through this coming one, this servant of God. And in that we see Jesus Christ, as all the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. We see the coming of the Messiah and the great fulfillment of all that God has through Jesus Christ and the Messiah who will come. And so we'll see just kind of echoes of that where we're at in Isaiah chapter 55 today. I don't have time to go into a whole lot of detail on that, although we will see some fulfillment in Jesus Christ. So again, we're talking here about 750 years before the time of Christ. And what Isaiah is prophesying, what he's thinking, what God is thinking, begins in verse 1 of chapter 55. Not what I read this morning, but kind of the context for where we're at in verses 6 through 11, where he says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? And so what Isaiah the prophet is saying to the people is, listen, this is who our God is. He is a God who's standing there with arms open wide saying, come to me. Come to me. You're thirsty. I know you're thirsty. You're hungry. I know you're hungry. You come to me and I will feed you. I will give you something to drink. I am your God. I will abundantly pardon your sins. Seek me that you might know me. Because I am a God who is calling out to you. And so this is God's plea to the people of Israel at that time. Come to me. I know you have nothing to bring to the table. You have no money. You don't have to have money. You come and I will give to you abundantly. Because this is who your God is. Your God is a God of grace and a God who wants to satisfy you. But Israel has rejected their God. The northern kingdom of Israel is about to be destroyed. The southern kingdom of Judah, less than two centuries into the future after Isaiah, they would also not mend their ways. They would also be destroyed. And so now in verse 6, we hear again God's heart cry to the people. Seek the Lord while he may be found. He can't always be found. Friends, there is a day when the door closes on salvation. But seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near to you. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man their thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have compassion on them. To our God, he will abundantly pardon. And so God is calling us to seek him, to forsake our ways and return to him. It's kind of been our theme even through the last few weeks in our Summer of Psalms. This concept, this idea of we have this compassionate and merciful God. And people will say the Old Testament is all about God's wrath, and they are absolutely wrong about that. They got to read it before they make that statement. It is about a God of grace and mercy who is calling out to his people. And he's saying, come to me. You're thirsty and you're hungry and I know it. Come to me. Seek me. Forsake your ways. Return to me. I will pardon you. I am a God of abundant pardon, of abundant grace. It is a biblical theme, Old and New Testament alike. Seek the Lord. Forsake your ways. Return to God. We take it into the New Testament, and in comes Jesus, the Messiah, this anointed one, this one that the prophet Isaiah is pointing to in his prophecies. And onto the scene comes Jesus. In John chapter 6, Jesus said to the people, all that the Father has given to me will come to me. So everyone that God has given to me, they're going to end up with me. There's a profound mystery there about the sovereignty of God. Everyone that God has given to me, they're coming to me. Now, to everybody who comes to me, man or woman, I'll never cast you away. I will never send you back, ever. You see, I've spoken about this before, this profound mystery of the sovereignty of God and human responsibility. Jesus says, if God has given you to me, you're coming to me. Now, you come to me. You come to me. And when you come to me, I will never tell you to go away. That will never happen. It is this great offer of salvation. This is what Isaiah is saying to the people of his day. This is what God is saying to them. Jesus is just simply taking up the theme and repeating it. God is saying, come to me. You're thirsty. You're hungry. You come. I'm a God who will pardon your sins. Jesus says, you come to me. You're going to come to me. But you come to me, and when you do, I'm never sending you away. Friends, this is a biblical theme. That God is coming to us. He is reaching out to us. Israel rejects their God. So many today reject their Messiah. So many today reject Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, prophet Jonah, many of you know this story. Jonah goes to the city of Nineveh, which is the capital of the Assyrian Empire. This takes place just a couple of decades before the prophecy, the time of Isaiah. And you probably know this story that God calls this Jewish prophet to go to their mortal enemies who are again putting pressure on the people of Israel and says, go to them and I want you to proclaim a message to them. You know the story. He doesn't want to do it. All kinds of stuff happens. Get eaten by a fish, regurgitated on a beach. All kinds of nasty stuff takes place. But he ends up in Nineveh in Assyria and he begins to proclaim the word. What is the word that he proclaims? Well, it tells us he marches a day into the city and he has a very short message. Right, 40 more days and Nineveh's overthrown. 40 more days and Nineveh is overthrown. What do the people of Nineveh hear from that message? Now again, that's all that's recorded for us. Jonah may have said many more things, but that's what is recorded for us. 40 more days, God destroys Nineveh. What do the people hear from the king all the way down? The book of Jonah tells us, or the prophecy of Jonah tells us, they hear, seek God, forsake your ways, and return. That's what they hear. Seek the Lord, forsake our ways, and return to this God. That's what the king, he sends out a proclamation. He hears the message. He takes off his royal robes. He puts on sackcloth, which is a way of mourning. It's itchy. It's not what kings wear. And he says, everybody else do this. Don't take care of the livestock. You focus on one thing. You seek God. You forsake your ways. And maybe this God will have compassion on us. Maybe he'll save us from our sin and from this destruction that is looming. What's the theme? It's the theme of Isaiah. What's the theme of Jonah? It's the theme of Jesus Christ. You come to me, and if you come to me, I will not cast you out. If you know the end of the story of Jonah, you know that's exactly what the people do. There is a time of repentance and returning to the Lord, and God does not bring upon them the disaster that he said he would bring upon them. Now, again, they're people like everybody else, and over time, eventually, they will reject the Lord as well. But for this time, they have sought the Lord, they have forsaken their ways, and they have returned to God. Friends, this is what God is calling for us to do through his word. Seek the Lord, forsake your ways, return to God. He is there. He's holding out arms wide open to you. And he's saying, you come. I know you need to come. This is what Oswald Chambers said. Chambers was a preacher and a teacher from a long time ago. He's been dead a long time too. Wrote, I think, one of the best daily devotionals that you can read called My Utmost for His Highest. He says this, beware of trying to patch up a present refusal to walk in the light by recalling past experiences when you did walk in the light. When the Spirit checks, call a halt and get that thing right, or you will go on grieving God without even knowing it. Friends, when the Spirit checks us, for those of you who are followers of Christ like me, then the word of the prophet Isaiah goes to you and it goes to me as well. When the Spirit checks us, we stop now. We get that right with God. We get it right with God. And then we move on. And God is there with arms open wide, right? He says, you come. Jim, you come. Jim Gregory, you come to me because you're thirsty and you're hungry and I know it. You come. And when you come, I'm not going to cast you away. I will abundantly pardon you. This is God's call through the prophet Isaiah. This is God's call through Jonah. This is God's call through Jesus Christ. This is God's call through his word to us, friends. We don't look back on the past and say, well, I followed God at one time and that's going to be just enough for me. No, we stop. And when the Spirit checks us, we stop what we're doing and we say, we're going to change this with the help of God and through the work of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to return to our God. This is what God is calling us to do. And so come, everyone who thirsts, the prophet Isaiah says, come to the waters. You have nothing to offer. You come anyway. You come. You come with empty hands. God will fill them up. Listen, this is God's cry to us, friends. Listen to what he says to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah is prophesying now, for the southern kingdom in Babylon is knocking on the doors, and they're about to take the southern kingdom of Judah into exile. Listen to what God says to Jeremiah. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, do you see yourself in this at all? You probably should. Because this is what God is saying through the prophet Jeremiah to the people of his day. This is what the people have done to me. They've committed two great evils. Number one, they've rejected me. I'm the fountain of living water. Now, does that should ring a bell for those of you who have read the New Testament, particularly the Gospels, where Jesus says what about himself? I'm the living water, right? I am living water, he says to the woman at the well. I'm living water. Anybody who thirsts, if they'll come to me, they'll never thirst again. See, he's picking up the theme, isn't he? I'm living water to you. God says, here's two things that people have done to me. They've rejected me, and I am a fountain of living water. And here's what they've done instead. They go out and they dig a hole in the ground and they plaster it and they say, here's my water, here's my source of hope. And it gets filled up with water and God says, here's the problem, it's broken. it's not going to hold water for you. You think you've got this one figured out, friends. You don't have this one figured out. You go dig a hole and you try to collect as much water as you can. It will not satisfy you. It will not sustain you. God says this is a great evil that people do. They reject him when he says, I'm overflowing into your life. I'm opening up my arms and saying, you're thirsty. You come. I'll give you water. And we say, I don't want that water. I want this water. I want stagnant water from a cistern that I've built. God says, you can do that, but it won't sustain you. It won't make you happy. Here's what you do instead. You don't dig a hole and say, God, here's what I've got. Fill it up. God says, you come to me empty-handed. You come and you buy and you eat, and I'll give it to you for free. Wine, milk, whatever it is, I will give it to you. I will nourish you. I will sustain you. But you can't do it yourself. You cannot do it yourself. Don't think you're pleasing God by doing good stuff for him. You are not. You are filling up a broken cistern. That's what you're doing. You're doing nothing that will do anything on your behalf. And here's why. Here's why God says it's clear that we need to be a people who seek him, forsake our way, and return to him. Because he says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are beyond our ways. Like the heavens are above the earth, so are God's thoughts and his ways above our thoughts and our ways. Again, have you ever thought about this, friends? Have you ever thought about this concept of who God is and where God is? Have you ever been in that part of life where you simply say, why are you doing it this way, God? I mean, is there not a better way? In fact, I'll just put it in not a question, and I'll make it a statement. There's a better way to do this. Right? We're talking about missions. How are we going to reach the nations? I've got a great idea. God, you take your head, you stick it through the clouds, and you say, I'm God. And everybody will say, there's a God. And then people will stream to you. You see, that's how I would do it. It makes perfect sense to me. And I got 1,000 other ideas on how to reach the nations. I think they're good ideas. And so do you. And sometimes you say, God, why are you doing this way? Why is there trouble in my life? I would be so more apt to follow you if you just did things really nice for me. And the answer is, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Like the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. Friends, you're not going to figure God out, and you're not going to fix things yourself. You think you're going to, but you're wrong about that. God's ways are above our ways. This is why we need him. This is why we need to seek him. This is why we forsake our ways. This is why we return to God, because his ways are above our ways. And to the people of Isaiah's day, to say that the heavens above the earth meant just infinite. It's just so far beyond us. We're not just talking about a gap here that we can now somehow, you know, we can get through that with a telescope, or we can send a rocket ship up there, or we can send something catapulting out through our universe like we've done as human beings, and somehow we'll get ourselves closer to God. This is an infinite chasm, God says to the prophet Isaiah. You're not bridging this gap. You can't get there. This is why the writer of the Proverbs, not just once, but twice says, there's a way that seems right to man. In the end, it leads to death. Right? Jim, there's a way that you think is right to reach the nations. It will lead to people dying and not knowing Christ. It seems right to you. But you see, your ways are not my ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. There's an infinite gap between us. Now look, that's depressing news. And that's where we're at. The chasm is an infinite chasm. But God has spanned that chasm with something. We're looking up at God from a deep, deep hole. God is sending something down to us. That's what he's saying through the prophet Isaiah. That's what Jesus says to us. That's what God does for us in Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, hey, come on up. Come on up. Work your way up here. Come on up. And if you can get a certain distance, I'll meet you halfway. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, this is an infinite gap. You will not work your way to me. Here's how we're going to span that gap. I'm going to come to you. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come to you, and that's how we're going to span that gap. And this is how God does it, he says to the prophet Isaiah. Rain, snow, and the word of God. That's how he bridges the gap. He uses rain and snow as an illustration for us. Listen, friends, the biblical doctrine, the biblical teaching is that God is high and holy and unimpeachable in his purity and his holiness. That's what the Bible teaches in the Old Testament and the New Testament. God is high, he is holy, and he is unimpeachable in his holiness. And I don't care how many articles people write about how God is wrong about things, and if God exists, he's not a good God, and they don't want him, they won't get him. He is unimpeachable in his holiness. His ways are beyond our ways. That is what the Bible teaches. That's the doctrine that we are left with. There is alienation between us and God. We are estranged from God. There is no hope of reconciliation from our side. Why? We love our sin too much. We love it too much. And you say, no, 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 Pastor, I know people who are really searching for God. And friends, I don't want to rain on your parade, but I'll go to a passage in the Old Testament and one in the New that says, nobody's really looking for God. You may think you're looking for God, but you're not looking for God. You're not looking for God as he's revealed himself to us. You're not doing that. And neither is anybody else outside of a work of God in their life. You're not trying to figure this stuff out. And so God has to bridge that gap for us. We're never going to make up for the wrongs that we've done, even if we could just change ourselves in miraculous ways. That's where we're at when verse 9 ends here in Isaiah's prophecy. God is in heaven and we're on earth. He's holy and we're not. But look what God does here in verse 10. He picks up this theme of the heavens a long way from the earth, doesn't he? And he says there's something that does come down from heaven to bring us hope. What is it? What's the illustration? It's rain and snow, right? It comes down from those high heavens. And when it comes down, it does exactly what God wants it to do. It nourishes the earth, right? It doesn't ever come back up to him, right? This whole process, we could do the whole thing, a map. Wouldn't that be great? That shows this whole process of how the rain comes down and then it brings brought back up again and kind of works through the cycle again. Hey, we've been living it out over the last 2 days here, haven't we? See what happens to your grass this week when it hits, you know, 75 degrees and sunny on Wednesday. This rain doesn't come down without doing what God says rain does. It does what it does. And this is the illustration that God uses through Jeremiah. I'm bridging the gap. You can't come up to heaven and make it rain and snow, but I can bring the rain and snow down to you. And when I do, it will always do what I want it to do. It's going to nourish the earth. It's going to give you seed and bread. You're going to eat and you're going to drink. Because that's what I do. I bridge the gap from the heavens to the earth, and I bring the blessing down to you. It comes down to a barren land. It nourishes humankind in the process. God is sending something down from the infinite heights where his holiness dwells, and he's giving us something that we need that we cannot produce ourselves. And then in verse 11, God says this is how he does this in a spiritual sense as well. He doesn't stand aloof in the distance. God has a warm heart, and he wants to bridge the gap for us. And so he does it physically for us in rain and snow. He does it spiritually for us. How? What does he say here? He does it through the word, right? So it is with my word. It's like the rain and the snow, right? It doesn't come down. It doesn't bridge that gap unless it does exactly what I call the word to do. It comes down, and it bridges the gap. You can't come up. But I will come down in my word. This is the prophetic word that comes. God covers his consuming glory. He covers his consuming glory and he comes down to us in his word so that he can bridge the gap for us, friends. Because we can't do it ourselves. Because we're digging cisterns that don't hold water and we're trying to figure things out on our own that just aren't getting us anywhere. So friends, that's who you are today if you don't know Christ. And friends, those of you who do know Christ, that's who you were one day. Right? Right? That's who you were. You were digging holes yourself. So was I. I was throwing dirt everywhere trying to figure this stuff out. I wasn't getting anywhere. So God comes down to us in his word. And friends, the world needs this word. It needs this word that comes down to us. This word to Israel was God's prophetic word through the prophets. That's how God bridged the gap. He sent to the people prophets and said, this is what God has to say to you. Thus saith the Lord. Here's what I want you to do. And what does he want the people to do here in the context of Isaiah? I want you to seek me. I want you to forsake your ways. I want you to return to me because I want to give you forgiveness and abundant pardon. So that's my word. That's how I'm bridging the gap for you. You may not know that, but now you know it because the prophet Isaiah has told you, I want to give you something. You're thirsty. Come to me, and I will give it to you. I want to bridge the gap. That's the word of God to you. I'm bridging it through the prophets. Now, on this side of the cross, we know a greater revelation, and that is that word is not the word of the prophets anymore. What is it? It's Jesus Christ, isn't it? And how do we know that? Because the Bible tells us that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word put on flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we've beheld His glory, John says. It's like the glory of one, the one and only. It's like the glory of God. And He's come to us. And how has He come to us? Well, as Isaiah said, God comes to us full of grace and truth, John 1 tells us. That's how God bridges the gap. In His Word, the Word of the prophets, and now in the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ has come down. Friends, He's bridged the gap for us. It's an infinite gap, isn't it? Because God is up there and we're here, and it's higher than us. We can't figure Him out. So He comes to us in the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Now He has spoken to us through His Son, whom He appointed to be heir of all things and through whom He created the whole world. Remember that from our Summer of Psalms when I said, on the whole totality of things, here's one thing I hope you remember from the Psalms, how rich they are and how much they implore us to remember at least one thing about God. He created everything. He made everything. You're not going to look at anything today that God didn't make. That's what the writer of Hebrews tells us. Long ago, this is how God bridged the gap through the prophets. But now He's bridged the gap through His Son, who He has appointed now to be heir of all things. He gets it all, including us who have come to know Him. And through Jesus, He created everything. Everything was made by this Word who came down to us in the flesh. Listen, friends, the rain and the snow have come down. They have come down. They've come down to us physically throughout human history, and they've come down to us spiritually in the Word of God through the prophets and now through His Son, Jesus Christ. And what is Jesus' call to us? Well, you come to me. You're thirsty. You're hungry. You come. You come to me. You don't have anything. You're not going to bring anything to the table, friends. Listen, again, when I came to know Christ, I came absolutely empty-handed. Not one thing. I had nothing to say. Hey, I've been pretty good. So, you know, would you consider? I just had nothing. And I came to that realization. By God's grace, I came to that realization. I got nothing to bring to the table, nothing. But would you give me everything? And that's exactly what God did in Christ. He just said, you got empty hands. Let me fill them up for you. You're thirsty. You're hungry. Here, let me fill your hands for you. You seek me. You forsake your ways. Let me help you in the process. And then you return to me. You come to me because there's abundant pardon right here, friends, in Jesus Christ, in the Word of God made flesh. Now look, so many of us in here already know that, don't we? You know that. So some of you probably have already tuned out part of the way through this message, and I don't blame you necessarily because you've heard this story before, right? This is the gospel. You've heard this before. It ends with Jesus doing everything for us. I know the end of the story. But there are people probably in this room. There are certainly people in Indianapolis. There are absolutely people in this country, and there are beyond a doubt millions upon millions upon people, millions of people in this world. They've never heard this. They've never heard it. They're digging cisterns, and they don't even know what they're doing. They're following false gods that the Bible says are demons. And so we do this kind of stuff, and we say, would you consider the blessing that God has given you? Listen, how do we know everything I've just now said? Because I'm really smart and God gave me a prophetic word? No, because I've got this. And so do almost every single one of you, probably every one of you. And most of you got a lot of these. I got a lot. Some of them are right up in there. This is how I know this. This is how you know this. Somebody went to an incredible amount of work to take an original Greek and Hebrew language, which are not spoken anymore, learned it, translated it, and put it into this word. So in our heart language in English, we could read this. Millions of people don't. 1,671 people groups in the world, individual people groups who live in little villages or live in big cities, they do not have the Word of God. They may have heard it proclaimed. I hope they have, and some of them have responded to that. But they're desperate to be able to read this in their own heart language and know this God, and to hear a God who says, "Come to me, you who are thirsty." And it may be translated in a way that's different for them. It may sound something different to them, and it may not be about milk and wine. It may be about something else that's precious to them, but it tells them the reality of who Jesus Christ is. And so our focus this week and next week, and as we go into this next year, not exclusively, we will continue to support all of our missionaries. We will pray for them. We will care for them. We will send missionaries out. We will do all that we've been doing. But we'll focus for just this year right now, and we're just going to say, let's focus on getting the Word of God into people's hands. And so over $20,000 this year of your money that you committed to missions has gone for that specific task. Andrew and Ann Sims will come in tonight. They'll tell us about that. Andrew and Ann, are you in here right now? I think you might be. There's Andrew. So Ann must be somewhere else. Will you stand up and wave your hand so we can see? There's Andrew Sims back there, his wife Ann. For over 30 years, spending time in Papua, getting the Word of God translated for a couple of people groups. And you'll hear about that tonight, this afternoon. So this is what we want to do, friends. And so here's the way that we do it. In your bulletin is this little card. Those of you who have been at LifePoint, you know this story, so don't tune out completely. But for those of you who haven't, this is the way we do it. We just give you this card. We ask you to pray about it and then come back and give us an anonymous pledge next week that says this is what we're committing to missions. This is what we believe God will do for us. This is what we're going to do with part of that funding that God has given to us. We're going to commit it to missions anonymously. We don't need to know your name. We don't need the money next week. You don't have to. It's not cash on the barrelhead. You tell us what you're going to give. We trust you in that. We budget for that, and then we spend it next year. And at least in the 10 years that I've been here, we've never come up short once. This is the grace of God. This is your commitment, but this is also the grace of God. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do and challenge you to do. Would you take this home this week, and would you pray over it? And if you're single, pray about what God would have you do. And if you're married, pray with your spouse. And if you have children and they're old enough to understand this, get them together with you. Just maybe just one time this week, and would you pray and just say, God, what would you have us do in this? Some of you got way more money than you need, and some of you have way less. And I don't know your circumstances. God does. So you do what God wants you to do. I'm going to talk more about the details of this next week, but I just want you to know that we put this in the bulletin this week so you'll go home and pray over it. So would you do that? Would you just pray over this and say, God, what have you do? Would you have us do? It might be that God would say, you need to go and ask the church for some funding because you can't pay what you need to pay. Okay? And that's okay. And then we would just say, hey, would you pray for missions this year? But I would just ask, if you find yourself in a situation where you're just really tight, would you partner anyway? Pledge $20 over next year. Partner. Be a part of all of this. And for those of you who have abundant means, by all means, you know, be generous so that we can continue to do what we're doing. So would you take this home? Would you pray over it? Would you consider that? And just consider this, friends. God has given us His Word. We just now preached from it. You heard it today. And God has said, come, you're thirsty, you come to me, and I want to pardon you, and I want to give you life and everlasting life. And so many of us here, we have benefited from that. And so when you go into verse 12 of this, which we don't have time to go into, but we should at least say because it's the fulfillment of this, then God says to the prophet Isaiah, when this happens, you're going to go out with joy, and you're going to be led forth in peace. And the mountains and the hills are going to break forth before you. And the trees of the field are going to clap their hands. Because this is the glory of God. This is what God does in His Word. The Word of the prophets and the Word of Jesus Christ. He leads us forth in great victory and great triumph. So that even the elements, as it were, symbolically, they rejoice over what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. That's the word you just heard today. That's the word that millions have never heard. So let's get the word out to them, to the very best we can here at LifePoint. Amen? Let's do what we can do. You take this home, you pray about it, and then next week we'll hear another word from Psalm 19, and we'll bring these pledges and these promises forward, and we'll see what God's going to do in missions here at LifePoint in 2019. Amen? So Lord God, we commit that to you. Your word, God, would you do what only you can do with it to penetrate hearts and minds here today? And then God, would you speak to us this week as we go home and as we consider what you'd have us do in missions here through LifePoint. God, thanks for the privilege and the benefit of being able to do that and to do this in English, which is almost all of our heart language. We're thankful for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.